Ooh la la, ah wee wee.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, as we send the Anchor app out for our KFFSC podcast, it bounces off the satellite and lands in Omaha, Nebraska, which is a place that is familiar to all Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship players, because besides many things, it is home to our 2019 champion, Mr. Chad Schroeder. And I think all of it, all players across the league will be thrilled to jump into tonight's podcast, listen, and get a feel for what is going through Chad's mind as he moves to the opportunity to be a repeat champion, our 2020 champion. That's happened once before. Mike Fox and J.A. Carey were back-to-back champions 2013 and 2014. It's taken 6 years. We're back to that situation again. We always expect to see Chad's name, Cocktails and Dreams, at the top of the leaderboard each year. And, Chad, you're sitting back at the number one position. It's good to talk to you tonight, my friend, and congratulations for your continued success.
Thank you very much, sir. It's good to be on here and be a fun little race. Little different for me this year than some of the years. I play high volume typically, but not this year. And so I'm glad that I have a little rooting interest weeks 14 through 16 to keep that little thrill alive. That's so much fun.
Well, you know, you concentrate on one team. I told everyone, you know, we don't exactly know what's going to happen when Chad Schroeder concentrates his skills on one season-long team. And I think we've seen it. And, you know, you've got your work cut out for you. It's a very good team. We'll get into that roster in a little bit. You know, actually, early on, we talked about your participation as far as our main event. You were going to play not one, but two teams. Our schedule ran out and you only got one team in. So we've got some bookkeeping adjustments to do for you. But, you know, I want everyone to know the first time I met you, we were playing in Las Vegas. We were in a ballroom somewhere and somebody said, "That's Chad Schroeder." I said, "Well, I'm going to go over and introduce myself because, you know, I've never met strangers." So I walk up and there's Chad Schroeder, and you know, you were pleasant, said hi, went on back about your business. And somebody said, "Hey, did you talk to Chad?" And I said, "Well, I met him." And, you know, then he went back to staring at his computer screen. Now me, I think you're just over there preparing for your next draft. Little did I know that you had two computer screens in front of you. You just finished a live draft. We're getting ready to do another one and we're drafting two online simultaneously. And as I look back on that, I realized something. That was new to me. And you were pretty much the pioneer in volume drafting. You were pretty much the guy that looked at the schedule and look, anyone can be a volume drafter now because of the span of dates available to draft. Back when you and I first met, to be a volume drafter, you had to almost draft around the clock and double up in a lot of cases. So what made you, besides the will to compete and the thrill that you knew that you were very, very good at this, was that the two motivating factors that developed that and led the way in the industry for you to be the first volume guy?
It has something to do with it, but you know, I truly was the first volume guy, I think, very shortly before I met you. There was a contest that paid $1 million for first place. And it was only like $125 to participate. And I'm like, well, okay, this has my interest. So why don't I do as many of these as I can? And so I did 23 of them. It was called the Fantasy Football Open Championships back in 2008, also the same year that the great FFPC Championships inaugural season was. And so That was my first year playing fantasy football seriously, with a lot of volume, and I was fortunate enough to make it out to the final 15. If you made it through all the cuts, made it out to Las Vegas, the Bellagio, for the week 16 shootout for the $1 million.
Oh, so wait a minute. So they bring you played all week. You compete against people around the country, and then for the final, they flew you out, or they hosted this big event at the Bellagio.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so you fly out with, and I imagine you get to take a guest or two with you. So who goes with you?
Kelly was partnering with me at the time. I made the decisions, but he was a little bit of a financial partner. My buddy Justin was a little bit of a financial partner, and then I gave other people just small chunks. But when you start small chunks, when you're playing for $1 million, all of a sudden gets pretty exciting for them. So I get out there with two of the 15 teams somehow. There was 11 or 12,000 teams, I think, in the contest. So the final 15, we get out there, and I was almost a lock to win it going into Sunday night. I mean, probably 98% chance or something. And basically, D'Angelo Williams needed to outscore my Giants defense in non-PPR by about 27 points or something.
Competition had D'Angelo Williams. You had the New York Giants D.
Playing against D'Angelo Williams, yes.
They're actually – okay. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and non-PPR, that's a pretty hefty score for a back to put up in a timeshare. Sure. And then Jonathan Stewart got hurt on his first carry. Then it wasn't a timeshare, and then things got serious. And it was pretty funny looking back. They actually, people were getting a little bit bored by being in this room all day together watching the games as they're, they were getting eliminated and kind of just wanted to be done with.
Sure.
And so they asked me, they said everybody can go, but can you stay here, Chad? We want to film you winning the $1 million during the Sunday night game. Talking about a jinx. Wow. So then, about the mid-third quarter after D'Angelo scores his third touchdown, quite a few people started flowing back into the room. But it was fun. I'm good friends to this day with the guy that won, Shane Schroeder. And we went out for beers after the Monday Night Football game and had a great time.
Well,
him and I.
I'm hoping that Shane, no relation, picked up the tab because what was the difference? So he won based on the tremendous career game that D'Angelo Williams has against your Giants D. I mean, did it go down to the last play, the last minutes? Did the suffering take, Chad? I mean, how long did you have to sit through this after they jinxed?
I mean, I guess you could say it went down to the last minutes because there's always a hope that the Giants could get a defensive touchdown, and then that would have brought it back for me. But it really didn't go down to the last minutes.
Gotcha. So the grand prize was $1 million. What was second place, which is where you ended up?
100,000.
Yeah, well, you can walk around with that. That's a nice consolation. But my goodness, not many of us have a chance to look at $1 million like that. But, when you get involved in the game and that's where you are in 2008, that sort of explains your passion and the time that you put into this. But, you have been savaging fantasy football players for a lot of time, or for a long time. And I when you drafted this year, I sent you a text. I said, I like your team. And you sent me back, says something, I don't know. I got picked by each side. Guys got my players that I wanted. I didn't feel good about it. You got reason to feel good about it now. Hopkins, Allen, Jefferson, that's Justin Jefferson, and Calvin Ridley as your wide receivers. They have been the fuel that have put you into this position. Darren Waller is on this team too. Your Herbert quarterback, that was a waiver wire acquisition.
Dak Prescott was my quarterback. And quite frankly, I think that it's a waiver wire acquisition, but I don't even know. I got lucky to stumble upon him. I wasn't that high on him even. I'm not sure how he even ended up on the team, to be honest with you, but I'm very lucky that sometimes you get lucky and maybe I got outbid on a preferred quarterback. I added Andy Dalton as well, but somehow I got Herbert on the team, and that was a savior. I mean, he's probably in reality, he's probably done as well or better than Prescott would have continued to do. Now it's just a matter of if he can continue. And it's also been a nice, consistent hookup with Keenan Allen, to pair up points quickly, and I'm going to need that in the overall race, obviously.
Gaskin and Cook are the running backs here. Cook has largely been one of the most dependable running backs in the whole game this year, right?
Yeah. I set my when we were doing the bidding, I really wanted a top six pick, and they're very aggressive on the bidding for the picks. And so Cook was kind of the last man standing that I wanted. And so I had to kind of actually overpay for the sixth pick than I was hoping for. But at the end of the day, I also kind of like being in the middle where you can it's a little easier to take what falls to you in the middle rather than having to force your position needs from the ends sometimes. So I was pretty happy with it. And then I wasn't happy with it though, as it was going on. Like I wasn't real big on Hopkins. But I got sniped, things weren't flowing right. And so I took Hopkins after probably using the whole clock. And he's turned out to be much better than I expected. And kind of the same thing with Keenan Allen, later on in the draft. And so I'm not like some genius that was really high on these guys. I just kind of got lucky, to be honest with you.
We have a saying here that we weren't the first to say it. You make your own luck. And I think that's what you did. You stacked up a quarterback. You stacked up with what I think. I'll go check your board, but I'm sure that Herbert was a free agent acquisition. You stacked that up with one of your receivers. With Keenan Allen, I think that's a very, very successful stack, and one we'll see again next year. Waller has been up and down based on the different type of Raider team that performs, but man, what a performance this last week. And he is always going to show up if Carr can get the ball to him. Is Waller a player that you see being, Kelce will always be the top tight end off the board? Will Waller move past everyone next year and take that second tight end spot?
He might. I personally at this point wouldn't prioritize doing that myself. I think he'll probably go too early next year. But this year I felt that he was falling for no particular reason.
None at all. With people taking Ertz and Andrews in front of him, and it was just a perfect situation to get that as the fifth tight end.
Yeah, and it seemed like he sometimes went a lot later than those guys, and that probably was the case in this draft. I don't recall exactly, but I think that it was a no-brainer pick when it got to me. To take him. And again, it's easier when you're kind of in the middle. You can pick off values that come, and so that it's something to be said about being in the middle.
I think you're bringing whole attention to the middle. I have always ran from the middle in my drafts, and I don't get to bid and choose my draft positions. That's not an FFPC feature in their game. How do you like that? How do you like the bidding process to get you a spot?
I don't have a opinion of liking it one way or the other, me typical year is obviously much different than this one. I'm playing with a lot of different companies and a lot of different formats, and you know, yours is kind of a combination of a couple things, because it's got the Kentucky, you know, it's the third round reversal as well. So if you're drafting in the middle, it really kind of is like you're just, it's like it's not third round reversal.
You eliminate the effect of the third round reversal, you know, and I asked, I conducted a poll once, you know, we had lineup sheets that, that players had to fill out. And at the bottom, we made the poll and we said, vote, you know, do you want to keep this bidding process or would you like to have a draft spot assigned? And, you know, one of the things that was the birth of that was we have a lot of guys here that come and, you know, they play one or two teams, right. $300 entry fee. And so the thought was that, that, you know, if they're only playing one team, they don't want to be assigned a draft spot, because then they're never, what if they're assigned a draft spot every year and they never get a chance to get that one player that they absolutely right. love. And so, but I said, I don't know how popular this is. So we had the poll, and I finally had to just quit stacking the votes. And in today's world, you would accuse it of voter fraud, because everyone said, keep this. We don't want any change. We love this. And it has been so much fun when we did it live. It was been, it was one of the things that was great fun to do it over the internet with the Zoom meetings this year. Everybody sort of checked in on everyone. Now, we've got a lot of strange things this year. We went into the NFL with great confidence, at least I did, and I tried to get everyone to join me on the trip. We went in the NFL with great confidence that there would be a season, there would be a successful season. Everybody knows the story. There's no use dwelling on that. But we all dealt with some issues, you know, and with here we have what we call national players, and we have guys from the locality, and we've got a good mix. What I always wanted to achieve with this event was to get the right kind of people in the room, the right people for each other, the right people that want to compete. Doesn't mean everybody thinks the same or acts the same, but what it does mean is they all share one thing in common. They've got a passion to play fantasy football, and they've got a respect for each other and a respect for the game. And, you know, one of the everybody had their own level of degree of speculation as if we were going to be able to pull this off. But we did pull it off, and it was a very successful event. Everybody had a great time. One of the best things about it, Chad, is when we got there, within about 10 minutes or so, you kind of forgot that you had the mask on. And it felt just so damn good to be doing something, because most of us had not really done anything. And later on, that vibe was picked up when we all traveled to Las Vegas to the FFPC. But one of the biggest questions, and you had posted it on Twitter that you were coming. Of course, everybody's plans changed this past year. And there were guys that wanted to come, like you. But they wanted to come. They had airline tickets bought, and their family members didn't like the idea of them traveling. And there was just so many things. And I would get calls, and you know, so many of those people help the league by playing online or even being in hybrid drafts. But one of the biggest things was, oh man, I was really hoping Schroeder would be here. I was really hoping Chad would come. So, you know, as we approach the end of this year, and we're all looking for brighter things in 2021, we expect to have this COVID under control. And life returned a little normal. I think you're really going to enjoy your trip here in 2021. I know you probably got some other big plans, but I hope this is part of your 2021.
Yeah, it definitely is. When I gave you my word, I would come to accept the trophy, and looking forward to meet a lot of those guys. That was no lie. I mean, things just changed, and for me, it changed drastically. I decided not even hardly play fantasy football, and I'm a guy that plays 200 plus teams a year. And right. So I not only, it wasn't, it was a combination of things that it, like with the COVID going on and the fact that I'm not even going to be playing, it just didn't make any sense to come to Kentucky this year for me. But I told you at that time that I will be there in 21 if the stuff's gone, and that's still the case, even if I don't opt to go back into big time fantasy football, I'm still coming to Kentucky, and that'll still be the place where I will definitely be playing a little bit of full season fantasy football in 21.
Well, we love hearing that. You know, one of the things that you've always been complimentary about our leagues is the big payback, which was your introduction to our leagues and truly what you were interested in, a higher stakes buy-in, $1,000 with $10,000 prize pool. And you've got trophies to pick up. We're going to have to do a great job of boxing up trophies to get it home for you. But you've got trophies for that to pick up. But one of the things you always gave a great compliment to the league, and it was a thrill to me, is that you said that playing in the big payback was great preparation, great competition, but it did more to get you ready to be successful in Las Vegas than any preparatory work you had ever done.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I'm not going to mention any names that are in that league because I don't want to leave anybody out. Maybe you can do a better job of doing that than I can. I just don't want to leave anybody out, but there's great, great players, world champions, like John Rozek. I'll mention him because he's a past world champion in events. Maybe not yours, but, you know, in other endeavors out there. And the list goes on. Every one of them are great players that are in those things. And a $1,000 buy-in, you know, that's a big investment for most people. But for me, it was it's almost like I don't even care if I get my ass whooped in this league. And I usually do, but it's great preparation for what's to come. Because I plan, you know, in my typical year, I play $300,000 or $400,000 of buy-ins after that those drafts occur, and there is not a harder one that I'll ever be in afterwards than those. And
you know, and some of the guys that, because you take Dave Gerzak. Well, you know, Dave is just like he can't play in the FFPC. I can't be here. So anyone that plays in the FFPC, I think it's a lot of fun to sit down and play against Gerzak. And, you know,
another world champion.
He's had his days, hasn't he? Brad Cruz, beloved Brad Cruz, guy that you know.
Those guys are as good as it gets. Maybe they haven't won anything. Their time hasn't come. Maybe where they won a big event, but they're as good as it gets. I mean, you're talking the cream of the crop.
It makes me less disappointed when I really have a tough outcome in fantasy football. I'll get on the phone and I'll call Mueller. I'll call Cruz. And I'll say, did you have a pretty good weekend? And they'll say, this happened, that happened. Then I don't feel so bad, you know, because you talk about misery-loving company. That's exactly, that's pretty good company to keep. You know, we've got some guys here that you haven't met or haven't played with in Vegas. Bully Bob Hogan, a great player. You'll love meeting him. TJ Blanford is a newer guy in our league. That made a great run with it this year. And these guys just love to play. And you know, Kimra is always hanging around like all of us. She's had a lot of responsibilities, you know, and I'm sure when you make an appearance this year, she'll be right there.
Got a happy birthday text
joining
her
the
yesterday. That was great to hear from her.
There you go. Yeah, she's always very, very good about that. One of the busiest people I know, but also one of the most most thoughtful people I know. Well, we've got 149 teams going for this championship. You're currently in first. How are you going to win it?
I don't expect to win it. I mean, I've been through many of these things before, and usually it's a team that and I've won some of these huge events with teams that aren't the best team. And I do think my team is one of the better teams probably heading into the event, but I just know how it works over a three-week race. So I'm not my hopes aren't high, but it's going to be damn fun to keep track of. And I had a decent little lead, you know. It shrunk tonight considerably. A lot of good teams that have Rams defense. It's like, how the hell am I going to beat them now?
That Rams defense put on a show tonight, and if they had, it could have got worse for them. I think that I was just curious. Our good friend Justin McCord, who was the champ here in 2011, he's always good at doing this for me. He'll go over rosters and he'll say, "Well, there's only X amount of teams with this player, and this player is widely owned, but we've got I wonder how many teams would have a shot with McCaffrey returning, but now that has been delayed and becomes less of an issue. Remember the year I thought, and I'm not sure what year this was, but I thought you were the odds on to win our league. And on a Monday Night Football, I think it was Eagles, Raiders, Eagles and somebody. You had two Eagles on your roster. One of them was Jeffrey. This is how I remember it anyway. You didn't need a lot, but you got absolutely nothing from that player. And you talk about strange things happening. And that's why I think the ball has been bouncing as far as in Kentucky. The ball has been bouncing a little more favorably for you. How much fantasy ball, you know, I'm a football guy. I grew up in Kentucky, so naturally I was raised on basketball. And more and more basketball went away, especially after my father passed, which will be 20 years this January. You know, I watched all the games with him, and quite honestly, it was just too painful, you know, to watch them without him. And so then I was a big, big baseball guy. But being in the football business, both fantasy and NFL, the football season just kept extending and extending and extending. And my baseball season would end about July 4th. Later on, it ended Memorial Day. You know, what's the point? I can't even concentrate on the World Series. So for me, it's just all football all the time. But you are truly a sportsman. I sometimes wonder if basketball and baseball might even be just as good a sport for you, or you might even be better with that. How much more of that do you do?
So one of the – it's a good question, and I'm glad you asked that. So NBA is probably my favorite sport. The Kansas City Royals are probably my favorite team in any sport. I'm also a big Indiana Pacers fan. But as far as I've been a professional gambler. That's all I've done. You know, I haven't had a regular job since 2000. And I just turned 47, so most of my adult life after college, I haven't had like a payroll type of job. And I worked at Ameritrade, out of college for a couple of years. And then the market went through a big depression around 2000, and they laid off a lot of the middle management type people, myself included. And I had about $5,000 to my name, and all I've done since is gambled. I've turned it into everything that I've built for myself to this point. And I'm pretty proud of that. But as far as NBA is concerned, the NBA is my best sport as far as it's it has probably more to do with that than any other sport, except maybe NASCAR. So yeah.
And is NASCAR something that is more recent as far as a fantasy or as far as a wagering aspect? Is that something that, or is that something you've been doing a long time? You just did it with a smaller group and now it's exploded.
Back up until 2000, like between 2001 and 2008, I bet really big on NASCAR. And I had a way, I basically had a cheat code. I don't need to get into I don't want to waste people's time too much. They're here to talk about fantasy football, but Pinnacle Sports, I used their guidelines, and about a half hour before the race, their lines would move significantly on head-to-head matchups.
Uh-huh.
And I had about 50 other books that were a little slower to move the lines, and it was like a cheat code. You always had the fastest car. Now, just a matter of they were going to wreck or what, you know. But I made a lot of money on NASCAR, and I knew a lot about NASCAR, and I still do. And so now I consider myself one of the better DFS NASCAR players. So I play very heavily on DFS NASCAR and DraftKings and FanDuel. But, yeah, so that's a little bit of my background. But, yeah, I'm still a gambler at heart, but it's most of what I do now is DFS, and we'll see if I get back into full season football next year with the COVID going away.
Yeah, we're gonna throw that lasso around you and keep pulling you this way. No, you talk about fantasy football, and the people that are listening to it, this podcast, which certainly has less coverage than any podcast you've probably ever done. But it is a specialty situation in that, you know, the people that come in our building, they're interested in each other. One of the things you'll see when you get here is that, and I think this situation exists in Las Vegas, but there's one big distraction when we all go live to Las Vegas, and that distraction is Las Vegas. You know, when we come here, sure, there's a casino, but we walk out the doors. There's a steakhouse. There's a casino. We have a good time. People go about their own business. But we're all centered there with one thing, and that is to stay and play fantasy football. And I think you're gonna love it. I think the guys, ladies that play in our league are going to love meeting you. And I think all of them will you know, be very interested in your story and anything that you have to tell them tonight. And it's to me, you know, being a true sportsman, being a professional gambler, being a guy that, you know, and people will shut their eyes and listen to you say that. And they'll say, oh, that's a really cool way. Well, if you made a movie out of it, it would be a really cool way. But the daily grind, you got to get up and go to work and do it too. And you never leave work. It's always in your head. You're always working on it. And it's something you love to do and want to do. But how many hours a day how many hours a week do you do it?
Oddly, not as much as you would think. When I was playing 200 plus fantasy football teams, that was, and there's free agent wires seemingly every day coming at you and deadlines. And so during football season and in the last several years, not including this one, I was probably working, you know, 100 hours a week or more to manage those full season teams. Like, I didn't even have time to do daily fantasy football. I was just, And it spent me, and it exhausted me, and so, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the unusual calendar of sports with the NBA
exactly. The NBA
playing
playoffs
in
going on during draft season September, this year
had,
is the main reason I didn't
yeah.
Fantasy football.
How much of the preseason, which did not exist, how much of the preseason do you spend watching NFL games and familiarizing yourself
with players?
You're
talking like the typical
how much of that
when
is
there's
part
three or four preseason games?
Right.
I watch every single play of every single game.
You watch every single preseason
every game. Every single preseason game, yeah.
What
it's not fun.
Well, it would be for me because I'm such a I really admire that. That time of the year for me, typically, I'm running around trying to talk with college players about their NFL futures before they get into camp and before they move on with their senior season. I don't get to see
right.
enough of it. When did you start that? And I'm, you know, there's obvious reasons. I can answer all the reasons, but I'd rather hear you do it. What's the biggest thing you gained from that?
I think that I'm blessed with having a pretty good memory, which is surprising because I'm usually, mm-hmm. a lot of times I'm watching late at night and I'm having some cocktails, but somehow my brain can remember things well and visionally. So like I'm trying to think of a good example. Like I think a lot of my peers definitely are watching like the starters play and maybe a series of the backups, you know, but by watching the whole
mm-hmm.
game,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for future free agencies. And mm-hmm. One name that comes to mind, well, there's a couple. One year way back when, Brandon Lloyd, when he rose onto the scene at Denver, he was really spiking in my mind
yep.
By watching these preseason games. And so I was taking him at the 19th, 20th round, 18th round. Then eventually, as the bigger leagues came around, he started getting drafted, earlier and earlier. But I was always a little ahead of the curve. And he was a great player for Denver that year. And then I think of another one, Robbie Anderson. Like he was just spiking in these preseason games,
right.
And looking the part. You know, not just I don't look for who's scoring the touchdowns. I want to see, you know, what do these guys look like. And Robbie Anderson looked like a difference maker. And so lo and behold, later that year, they had a bunch of injuries at wide receiver, and he rose onto the scene and started getting opportunities, and he became a viable waiver wire ad in leagues where you could still add guys, you know, after week 13, which isn't yours, but there's, you know, everywhere is different, you know. I play in a lot of different scenarios, so
sure.
I just want to be aware of these guys, and the only way you're gonna be aware of them is if you watch them do it, you know.
And you know, I think if you have a player that is buried, but you see him play in the preseason, but he doesn't get on the field, and you know that if he does get on the field, he gets there for a reason, and you shouldn't be hesitant to acquire him. We brought up a player doing the podcast with Balky, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and Balky, for some reason, wanted to talk about Jacksonville Jaguar receivers, and I brought up Colin Johnson because I remembered him from college. He had a high-profile college career. You know, I tell you, going out on the road, watching a lot of college football, going to some college football games, I've seen it there. My old friend Danny Gibson told me, you know, if I see it in college, I can kind of, at a certain level, suspect that I might see it in the pros. And he's right. And,
exactly.
You know, when Chase Claypool came in here, when he went out on the field to warm up for Notre Dame, I thought, my God, there's Andre Johnson. There's a second coming of Andre Johnson out on the field. And I didn't think Notre Dame used him correctly. And Pittsburgh for a while did. I'm beginning to think with four targets and their loss to the Washington team that they didn't. But you see my point, and you love it. But I'm not smart enough to sign up for any dynasty teams. With my knowledge, it seems like that would be the place
like
for me
would.
To play.
I don't
but
play
I never
any
played.
Of those either, personally. But that's funny you mentioned that, though, because my uncle, who I referred, he was my partner for many years. He'd come to Vegas and draft teams for me,
mm-hmm.
Mostly at the FFPC. So he was the most comfortable with that format. So while I was doing some other ones, so a lot of that'll be a particularly cool thing. I know a lot of your clientele goes to Vegas and drafts FFPC teams. And so I haven't met some of them because I was
sure.
doing NFFC teams or FFWC teams, and my uncle was handling my FFPC teams. But anyways, on draft night, he texted, he's a big Steelers fan, and he goes, why are they reaching for guys? Why not just take the best player? I'm like, Kelly, this guy's pretty damn good. And they need a – it turns out maybe they didn't need one as bad as I thought because Deontay Johnson's developed very well. But he's a damn good player, and I told Kelly just to calm down here. You might like this. And so I'm with you on seeing Claypool in college. Didn't get to see him play in preseason games this year because there wasn't any. But
yeah, and I think he would have. I think he would have approached, perhaps not quite as high, but would have approached some CeeDee Lamb territory. And I think that would have. Everyone would have seen what the potential was there, but there's so many players and it would go on and talk about them, forever. And if we ever get in front at the Horseshoe, we get in front of the bar at the steakhouse, we can continue those conversations. Although there's a lot more about Chad Schroeder, and I think everyone knows this, beyond talking about fantasy football. But those are the questions that you'll have to bear up to have, because you'll get a lot of them. Now, let me ask you this,
let me just touch on,
because I wondered about
before sure. we go out on a beer and I forget, I'll say this. There's many, many times in Vegas, and it's one of the reasons why I quit going to Vegas the last couple of years. Not because I don't like talking to people. I love talking to people. It's because I felt bad that I couldn't. When I'm getting a tap on the shoulder, hey, Chad, I just want to come up and say hi and meet you. And I'm doing three drafts on my computers, and I'm, yeah.
Well, that was me. For the first time we ever met.
But it became more extreme later on when I was doing more drafts. And I felt like people might think I was an asshole because I couldn't give them the time that I would like to. That is not going to happen in Kentucky, because I'm definitely not going to be playing in such bulk where I need to be drafting a million teams that weekend in Kentucky. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So I don't want people to be afraid to come and say hi to me. And
well, that'll be cool. And you'll probably get a lot of effort since
they'll see what I draft with. It's a sheet of paper.
As close to bare knuckles as you can get using that
programs. It was just because I had a lot of drafts going on.
If you could use that stellar memory in that piece of paper. I've got to show you my cheat sheet that I have perfected. So when you do sit down at the bar, we'll make sure that you can get back to the room without staggering to get there. But you'll probably have a few efforts to buy you a cocktail. With the team name Cocktails and Dreams, what is your What is your preferred libation, so to speak? I'll be damned. So you're going to come to Kentucky and insist on drinking Tennessee whiskey across the river in Indiana. You're going to cover all with all
your beers during the drafts, and then maybe at the steakhouse endeavor into the Jack Daniels. But
well, you'll probably have someone try to foist some bourbon on you, and fantasy football experts are all around, and you're going to get a lot of opinions. If you get cornered by a bourbon expert, my advice is to let him buy you a drink and then run. Just run quickly into the other direction. You know, we've got a few too many bourbon experts running around, but they are harmless. They just love to where we're talking about ball players with a lot of differentiations in talent. When it comes to talking about bourbon, we're talking about just how much corn and how much rye or wheat you're going to put in a mash bill and make your bourbon. That's essentially it. So you keep drinking your Jack if that's exactly what you want to have. You keep winning. Any final thoughts of enlightenment that you can give us before we let you go on this this late post Thursday night after the Rams in New England? You got any commentary on that game? That was
about that game. It didn't go real. And it's weird because I told you last night that I knew it was going to go under, right? And I didn't. Through on it. And it was like,
yes, sir. Your own good advice that you just can't take.
Man, what a ugly thing. And I took a little bit of a beating on the single game DFS slate, but that's the way it goes.
People that
have Acres that made it through, though, man. They're looking, that's looking like a promising player. A guy that can make a difference down the
stretch. He certainly is. And that's exactly what you want. And maybe he'll even find the end zone next week for all the Rams. There was at one time Joe Buck, I think it was Joe Buck, it might have been Aikman. They said no one saw this coming. No one was talking about the Rams winning division. I'm waving my hand with my few modest tickets that I have from the sports book back in the trip to the FFPC. I'm saying I did. This is, if the Rams come through, I've got an FFPC team waiting for me next year. Whatever we have, looking forward to 2021. It's going
to be a tough year for me personally
than what we've had this year.
And just in general for everybody, I'm going to be celebrating New Year's Eve, and it's not typically something I do.
Well, I tell everyone that, it's the 100-year pandemic. A lot of young people like talking to me about the 100-year pandemic. I don't know if they look at me and think I'm 100 years old or what, but I say, well, I'll tell you what happened after the pandemic. We had the roaring 20s, so we got a chance to begin our roar next year at the KFFSC and starting even sooner than that. And, after no matter what happens in the next few weeks, if you join us again for a conversation, because everybody'd like to get your opinion on how it happened, why it happened, and what's going to happen next. But it's been a thrill to talk to you tonight, and I wish you great luck, and you've got some terrific competitors. And as an operator of a very small but what we consider a very important fantasy football league, I want to thank you so much for introducing that volume drafting. The guy that's actually behind you, second place when we started tonight, goes by a Fosse Dog, Jeremy Brock, and he's actually from Nebraska. Oh, man, he's actually just down the road from you. Football. And we'll have to get you guys together. There's a team called FPI that they basically drafted every time that we have to draft this year. Petrie and Larson, those guys have seven teams in the tournament. Jim Cole, Bobby Butterfield, guys that you would enjoy meeting. Those guys, six or seven teams each in the championship. And your old pal, Stacy Perez, that facilitated with you on the phone in various ways, Facebook Live. Stacy, Chad, two teams in the championship this year. She did very, very well and is becoming a very good player. They're all lining up to meet you, buddy, and I'm just looking forward to you and a few hundred more walking in that door, and we have a great time celebrating whoever wins this in 2020. You got a better shot than anybody because you're sitting up there with everybody taking aim at you.
Got a couple cocktails tonight, and I just want – and kind of emotional. It's so good to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
You give me good advice sometimes when I don't – you know, when I give you a call or whatever. Everybody should watch Jimmy Valvano's speech, though, if they never have. And most people probably have, but it's Jimmy V week, and that's a hell of a speech. And I was talking to my youngest brother last night.
That's
about 20 years younger than me, and he called me to say happy birthday. And I'm like, "Hey, did you watch Jimmy V speech tonight on Jimmy V week?" And he's like, "No. What are you talking about?" So there might be some people, there might be one person that listens to this that doesn't, but he says, if you laugh and you think and you cry every day, it's a great day. And yep.
That's a full day, baby. And I will, next time we're together, I want to tell you the time that we showed up at the Aloha Classic basketball tournament, and Jimmy V was one of the coaches that came in and coached the team. That's back when I was in the basketball business, and let me tell you, there's not a thing that's fake about him. He's the most fun, and that was one of the best trips that I ever made. And so we'll be having cocktails and conversations with cocktails and dreams on that Jimmy V and a lot of other subjects, and that's good advice that we'll close out tonight with. Chad, thanks for joining us, buddy, and good luck as we move into week 14. I hope you have a blast.